from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny.
Now's the time to stand and fight!
Kaiser Permanente mental health care workers across California began a strike yesterday over wages and benefits. Coming up on Forum, we'll get the latest on the strike, the union's demands, and what it all means for patient care. And then at 10:30, we talk with Harvard anthropologist Yeva Yusinita about her time embedded with first responders on both sides of the Arizona and Mexico border and her new book, Threshold. That's next, after this. Welcome to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Mental health workers at Kaiser Permanente facilities throughout California started a week-long strike on Monday. The National Union of Healthcare Workers, NUHW, is advocating for better pay and benefits for employees who include psychologists, therapists, psychiatric nurses, and social workers. Kaiser says it has added more than 500 staff and invested $175 million in mental health after being fined by state regulators back in 2013 for not providing adequate mental health care for its members. But NUHW says compensation for its members lags behind that of other Kaiser employees, and that the high demand for mental health services requires those workers to keep onerous hours. We're going to check in on the strike, the union's demands, and how they relate to patient care. Joining us in studio is April Dembowski. She's health reporter for KQED's California Program. Welcome, April.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning to you. And Ken Rogers also joins us in studio this morning. He's a psychologist who works with Kaiser Permanente, and he's a spokesperson for the National Union of Healthcare Workers.
Good morning, Michael.
Good
Thank
morning
you.
To you. And we're going to be joined later by Kaiser, but let's find out from you, April, what this is all about. I mean, there are two, as there often are in these cases, usually two completely conflicting narratives. But the fact is, why now? Why this five-day strike now? And what do you feel they're trying to accomplish by it? I say now because Kaiser has said it's disheartening to the Christmas season, to our patients and so forth. But
Right. So the union has been in talks with Kaiser since June on their most recent contract. So they had agreed to their last four-year contract back in 2015. And listeners may recall that there was a strike at that time as well over the same issues. And the union was saying then, and the union is saying now, that there are just really long delays for patients who need mental health care, in particular follow-up appointments. I was on the picket lines yesterday interviewing some of the therapists and social workers. They say they have to tell their patients often that they can't see them again for another 4 to 7 weeks.
And they have more patients. The numbers have gone up.
And they have more patients. And that's an interesting thing about Kaiser's model. You know, the psychologists and social workers, if they get assigned a patient, they can't say no. They can't say my roster is full the way that, you know, a therapist who works in private practice can.
But they're also saying on the union side there aren't enough people to serve, really. There aren't enough clinicians and there aren't enough mental health professionals, and they need more.
So the union is saying, you know, there's not enough at Kaiser, you know, to meet the demand of all the people who need services. Kaiser is saying there aren't enough professionals out in the world for us to hire. And that's not exactly true.
Yeah, well, that's another way that the two narratives sort of conflict. And let's bring you into this, Ken Rogers, because Kaiser's saying that this is all about wages, in fact, I think the implication is there's an average wage of over $100,000, both in the Northern California Kaiser Permanentes as well as the Southern California. And they say, you know, in terms of relative earnings, that's pretty much up there.
Sure. And we would disagree with that. This is about wages. For us that have been bargaining with this employer, both in this current bargaining and the last bargaining, this was never about wages for us. This was about improving patient care. This was about improving the working conditions for the workers in the facilities. And this is also about getting respect from this employer. The things that they hold us up at the bargaining table are things that they give other employees in this organization quite freely.
And there it has been the argument, though, that's coming from the union, because I read the materials, that you're not getting equal pay.
Yeah, so the equal pay issue relates to master's level clinicians who work in the hospital. Medical social workers, starting out medical social workers, get paid more than our social workers that work in the clinics, you know, with 5-10 years experience. I mean, and that's because we didn't get raises for 4 or 5 years. And the not getting raises because of the last campaign has greatly affected that.
And let me go back to you on this, April Dembowski. I mean, the sense is that, I mean, the rhetoric is really the key to this. I mean, it depends, I suppose, on who's representing the union, and who, we have Dr. Rogers here, but also who's representing spokespeople for Kaiser. And as I said later on, we'll hear from somebody from Kaiser. But they're saying that the demands are unreasonable for wages, and they're saying that they've done a lot since they were essentially told to do a lot. How does it stack up in your judgment?
Well, I think that, you know, Kaiser is saying that they are one of the highest paying medical providers in the state when it comes to mental health care.
I think that's true, isn't it?
I think that is true. I think, you know, I don't know that that addresses what the union is saying about parity within Kaiser, but there is another issue to consider, which is, you know, most psychologists who work outside of the Kaiser system can actually earn well above, you know, the $138,000 that Kaiser says its psychologists earn. And that's because of the market for mental health care. You know, if you nobody goes to the dentist, you know, unless they absolutely have to. Nobody seeks cancer care unless they absolutely have to. But in the Bay Area, you have a lot of people who are going to therapists for self-improvement or because they're, you know, really, really stressed. They may not have a mental illness, but they're really distressed. And because of the money in the Bay Area, people can pay out of pocket for those services. So if you're a psychologist or therapist who works in private practice, you can make well above what Kaiser pays. And I think that's, you know, one of the issues that I think it's legitimately hard for Kaiser to compete with that and attract people to come into their managed system.
But isn't Ken Rogers something else the union is saying is that they can't do enough follow-up and that they can't really serve their patients in terms of those kind of follow-ups that are necessary?
Well, that's the interesting thing is that Kaiser Permanente has been hiring more clinicians, and yet people are still reporting the same kind of waits for patient care. They're still waiting 4, 6, and as much as 8 weeks with return patient care. And that is psychotherapy. Psychotherapy is not just seeing a person once or twice. It is ongoing care for these patients. And it is also providing care when they're in crisis and they call in and they need assistance. And because of the way that the structure is with the with how you see patients, you don't have availability for that.
And there's also, I think, Sal Rossetti, the union head, has been talking about. And by the way, are the employees at one with the union on this? Because it's only going to be a 5-day strike. It's going to go on in different locations.
But the employees are the union. The employees are out there, and this is, I think, one critical miscalculation that Kaiser continues to make. If it wants to use it as a talking point that this is about a select group of rebels trying to stir things up, it can. But the fact of the matter is you have a majority of your workforce out of your clinics. You have a majority of your workforce at the picket lines. Maybe you want to pay attention.
They're not paying attention.
We don't feel like they're paying attention. And, you know, with this pay issue, I didn't want to get too much into it, but they play a lot of funny games with that. In terms of the hourly rates, yes, we probably are somewhere close to the top, but they don't talk about total compensation. They don't talk about how we fall behind other employers in terms of benefits that are provided. They don't talk about the substantial student loans that these providers have to take out. You know, they flash this number about how much psychologists make and how much licensed clinical social workers make. A cardiologist wouldn't even let me park his car for the amount of money that they make. And I was in school for the better part of a decade getting my degree. So I feel like they play a lot of games with what's the value of things and what's the worth of things. And, you know, we're paying these people too much.
And people who really need care desperately, crucially, April, are not necessarily excluded. I mean, is Kaiser covering for them now?
Kaiser says that, you mean during the strike?
Yeah,
Kaiser
while the strike says, is going on these 5 days.
Yeah, Kaiser says during the strike that people who need urgent mental health care will get it. But apparently some of the more routine weekly appointments will be rescheduled.
And we're going to try to connect up with Kaiser. But in the meantime, this is only a half-hour segment, and I wonder what listeners' responses are. Those of you who would like to weigh in here, have some thoughts or questions, we'd like to hear from you. And let me tell you how you can join the program. You can join us by calling our toll-free number, and it's available right now. It's 866-733-6786. Again, please feel free to bring your thoughts and your observations to the discussion here at 866-733-6786. You can also join us by emailing us, forum@kqed.org, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum. Click on the segment or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. April, do you have any idea how many patients are possibly going to have impact by this?
Well, Kaiser covers 8.5 million people in California. I don't know what percentage of them are receiving mental health treatment.
Can you help us here, Ken Rogers?
I can't help with those numbers. I will say that there are policies in place that Kaiser knew this was coming, so they rescheduled in advance. The providers themselves talked to their patients about rescheduling. I mean, you know, during the holiday season, we all like to spend time with our family. Patients who work with me know that I usually take a week off, you know, spend some time with my family. Well, I'm not doing that this year. And I'm spending my time on the line.
Well, you're on the picket line.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah, they could visit me there.
So when Kaiser puts out these statements saying it's disheartening to know that you would not care enough for your patients to actually go on strike, you're saying we're out there too.
Well, I'm struck with the irony that these same individuals are probably going to be home with their families when I'm still working during the holidays to see my patients. But, yeah.
Well, we've got some people who want to weigh in here. Let me go to calls and let me not tarry here. Chuck, join us. You're on.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I believe that part of the issue here is the mental health parity that was changed in the Affordable Care Act and the way that health insurance companies are resisting adequately compensating healthcare providers who provide mental health. And I think that Kaiser has an opportunity to take the lead here. And I think they should do what the union is asking them to and compensate mental health workers.
Well, with the Affordable Care Act, you've hit the target, I think, right on, hasn't she, April? That's really at the center of a lot of this.
So there are a couple things with that. So she referenced the Mental Health Parity Act as well. And what the Affordable Care Act did was essentially required plans to provide mental health care, and the Parity Act required plans to cover mental health care at the same level that they cover any kind of physical or medical care. So they can't charge extra copays. They can't put extra roadblocks in the way with pre-authorization unless it's the same for physical health care as well. And so so the Affordable Care Act really upped the game in the number of plans that had to abide by it. But the other thing that happened with the Affordable Care Act was that you had a lot more people become insured who hadn't been insured. And that's one of the things that Kaiser has said in its defense is, you know, the roles of people who we now have to cover has really gone up.
And what about, Ken Rogers, your staff working with people outside on the private side? That's part of this whole picture, isn't it?
Well, that's a funny thing, too, because we talk about Kaiser talks about the shortage of providers, but when we need to refer out, there are providers out there providing these services. So they exist somewhere. We've worked cooperatively with outside providers, with community providers. We want our patients to get
care.
You feel
Kaiser is standing in the way in some respects here, or an impediment to that?
Well, you know, we keep talking about this issue in terms of pay, but it's really about staffing. It's not about more money to me or my colleagues or everybody on the line. It's about more of us. It's about having more providers, more clinicians to provide care. And, you know, if we don't have the staffing, you've got to refer out. I'd never stand in the way of that, but why not have more providers? And the organization will say that they are actively trying to hire providers. I understand that, but there's more that needs to be done there.
Well, here's Heather, who says we had to go to go private for one family member. Kaiser was only able to see a young person in crisis every 6 to 8 weeks. I understand from talking to the mental health staff, they were overstretched with caseloads. Good people, we just didn't have reasonable access.
There you go. That's it.
Let me bring. Let me thank the caller and go to another caller, and that's Dr. Daniel Frankel in Berkeley. Good morning.
Good morning. Actually, it's David Frankel in Berkeley. I'd like to make a couple quick points. One is that I'm a clinical psychologist. I've been working in mental health for over 25 years with kids, adolescents, and adults. Almost to a person, Kaiser staff have been wonderful. However, about probably a quarter of my practice, an outpatient, is made up of people who have Kaiser benefits and just are grossly undertreated. And it happens repeatedly. It's impossible to get care for them. And additionally, I've treated kids and family members of Kaiser physicians who get an outpatient mental health benefit separate from the Kaiser system.
I thank you for that call, April.
You mentioned at the top of the hour how Kaiser had been fined $4 million by state regulators. And in follow-up surveys in 2015 and 2017, the regulators found that a lot of those deficiencies persisted. And one of the things that Kaiser did to try to address the problem was it agreed to contract with outside providers. And that goes through a separate managed care company that helps organize that.
April Dabowski, again, is health reporter for KQED. He's a California Report. Let me bring John Nelson aboard here. John Nelson is vice president of communications for Kaiser Permanente. And John Nelson, good to have you with us. Welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. Sorry I couldn't join earlier.
Well, I'm glad you're with us. There's been a lot of talk here about access, and I noticed that Michelle Gaskell-Hames, who's been speaking a lot for Kaiser, she's executive nurse of Kaiser, says this really is not about access. It's really not even that much about care. It's about, or better care, it's about wages. That is, in terms of how Kaiser sees the strike.
Well, and it's also what the union has made their primary issues in bargaining. They are asking for even higher wages than we currently pay, and we're the highest paying mental health care employer in the state. And they're also asking for increased benefits, and we already have very just really excellent and market leading benefits, pensions and medical benefits and other benefits in addition to wages. And that's perfectly fine for the union to ask for those things. That's what bargaining is about. That's not a reason to do what the union has been doing this week, which is trying to shut down mental health care at Kaiser. And that's, I'm quoting from their press release, is what they're trying to do. Again, find a bargain for more money and more benefits, although, again, we are really at the top of the market as an employer. But it's just, it's really... we think disheartening.
But you're still covering those who have need of urgent care, aren't you?
Certainly for urgent care we're able to cover. We have both psychiatrists and physicians who have come in and are helping make sure that we can meet all urgent needs. We also have contract providers, so high-quality community providers, therapists in the community who are willing to see our patients, although on that point, frankly, the union has actually reached out to community providers to urge them not to see any of our patients this week, which is, again, a very, we just think, very inappropriate thing to do.
And as I said earlier, Kaiser put out the fact, inappropriate, especially the time of the season, you feel, those of you in the Kaiser Permanente upstairs wear the suits and whatever, or speak for Kaiser. But there was, as we've alluded to, in 2013, some fines by state regulators, and then Kaiser claimed it pretty much followed through. Can you say with certainty that you have followed through on what was brought up back in 2013?
We certainly have followed through. We've hired since 2013, probably over 1,000 therapists statewide. Since 2015 alone, we've hired over 500. Let me give you context, because that number might not mean much. That's about a 30% increase in the number of therapists in California. Our membership over that same period has grown 19%. So we're definitely staying above membership growth. We comply with all the state standards around initial appointments, certainly urgent appointments. We've always been able to to meet those. The challenges from 5 and 8 years ago were around non-urgent appointments, and we've addressed those issues, and we continue to address them.
Let me ask you to address a couple of other things, if I could, because I'm getting some listener responses here that are quite strong. Let me give you a couple of examples. Karen writes, I'm a licensed clinical social worker and a Kaiser member. I'm outraged by the poor quality mental health care that Kaiser provides. Services are provided based on what Kaiser can offer rather than what is best treatment plan for a member. Can you imagine if you had a serious heart problem that could kill you and being told that you'll have to settle for something else because they can't provide the treatment? And Harvey says, according to Chronicle, Kaiser Permanente's profits rose by nearly 23% to $3.88 billion in 2017. They can afford to hire more mental health care providers so that they're not overworked and overextended.
Yeah, there's a few points there. So every treatment plan is developed, and Ken could speak to this if he's still on. Every treatment plan is developed.
He's
by
here.
The,
yeah.
Okay, great. By the therapists, they have psychiatrists who are also on the care team. So treatment plans are developed for each patient based on their diagnosis and what's going to aid them. When a therapist has an impacted schedule. And doesn't feel that they can get someone in for a follow-up appointment soon enough. Every therapist on staff has the ability and is expected, and they do this, to talk to their manager and figure out what the other options are. The options include scheduling changes, bringing in someone else to see the patient on the care team. We have the benefit of extensive practices here as opposed to individual proprietors.
So you're saying you do have the follow-up with respect
to contract.
You have the follow-up procedure that Ken Rogers actually spoke earlier about and said was not adequate. Ken, you want to respond?
Yes. If you are in front of a dam and there's a leak, you can plug up a leak. And this is what he's referring to. It's like, oh, well, everything's fine, but then there's somebody you can't provide care for. The dam is broken. The dam is broken. There's water everywhere. There isn't enough that I can go to my manager and say, well, I have these problems with all this return access, but they're not a miracle worker. They have to work with the resources that they've been provided. And as John knows, those resources come from region, and those resources come from a higher place than the individual medical centers.
April, you want to talk about this from a reporter's point of view? I'll sort it out.
Well, I think, the thing that I've heard that the union is, I think what both people are saying is there's sort of an overall structural issue, perhaps, that there aren't enough therapists to handle even on this sort of case-by-case basis. And one of the things that the union is trying to address is ratios so that they can't be given a new patient if they have 4 or 6, returning patients that really need to see them. And so, if you kind of step back and look at that, the only way to then handle all those new patients coming in would be to hire more people or just find more staff who can handle it.
We're going to have to leave it there. Thank you, April Dombowski. Thank you, Ken Rogers. And thank you, John Nelson. We've got to wrap up this segment because we've got another one up ahead. Stay tuned for it. I'm Michael Krasny.